Around Comics, episode 47.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a weekly roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the producer of the show, Brian Salazar.
Greetings and salutations.
And we have our Around Comics regular, Mr. Tom Caters.
I think the center of the earth is filled with quarter books.
That's your dream.
That's my dream, me and Neil Adams.
For those of you who downloaded this show with the expectation of listening to our interview with Greg Rucka.
Ha ha, we tricked you.
We don't know Greg Rucka.
We milked one more week out of you. No, Greg asked us if we could move the interview to next Friday, and we said, of course we will. So anyway, we will have Greg on next week. But I'd like to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by GeekArmor.com.
Cover yourself in geek with the growing selection of comic book and sci-fi t-shirts at GeekArmor.com. Every week they are adding new Marvel and DC shirts to their selection, and their prices and shipping costs are tough to beat. Use Around Comics, all one word, as your coupon code, and get an additional 10% off your order. Check out GeekArmor.com today.
I'd like to also remind everyone that Around Comics is recorded every Friday from 7 to 9 at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
It's the finest smelling comic book shop in all of Chicago.
It does have a very nice aroma to it.
Yes.
Speaking of Dark
as
Tower,
as does Mark Beatty, the manager of the shop.
And Dark Mark is not feeling very well today, yes. So you may hear him coughing in the background tonight. But Dark Tower, Word Balloon, and Around Comics are proud to announce the Chicago Minicon. That's what we're calling it now, right?
Dun dun dun
dun dun dun. On October 14th, from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, we will welcome some of Chicagoland's best and brightest for a signing at Dark Tower. You can meet Bill Reinhold, Francesco,
ooh,
Michael Avery, Dave Wachter, ooh, Mike Huddleston, Scott Johnson, yeah, Jason Millay, Rafael Nieves, Steve
him,
Bryant, Tom, ooh, Kelly, Len Cody, Doug Klauba, and more.
I love more.
So mark your calendar and come into Dark Tower on October 14th for signing, sketches, door prizes, and be witness to the live recording of our 50th episode.
Hugs.
Door prizes?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can I win?
Grab bags. I'm sure I'm taking stuff.
I'm gonna bring a bucket of confetti like the Harlem Globetrotters.
I thought you were gonna say like Rip Taylor.
It will be like Rip Taylor.
Hey, just start tossing it around.
Another old event going on, which I'll be witness to anyway, is on October 7th, 2006. That's
bring
this year.
Me a witness.
Cartoonists around the world will face the 24-hour comic challenge. To help these cartoonists, some of comic book stores, educational institutions, libraries, businesses, and comics clubs will host special 24-hour comics day events. They'll provide cartoonists with a space to work, access to food and drink, and camaraderie.
Access?
Otherwise, we're over there.
Yeah, the McDonald's is across the street, you comic losers.
They won't stop you from eating.
Now, the one I'm going to attend is buymetoys.com, which I guess it's buymetoys. And they have a web address, buymetoys.com. It is at 6327A University Commons in South Bend, Indiana. I'm actually going
to... Oh, I'm very sorry to them that their Golden Domers took it real hard last weekend.
Yeah. Go Blue! Go Blue!
I'm a Wisconsin fan.
Oh.
So, anyway, I'm going to go over there and hook up with Andy Jewett and all his buddies and watch them make comics for a couple hours during that 24
You know, it's
hours.
Funny. I was going through some of my stuff from Wizard World Chicago, and I happened to come across Andy's 24-hour comic from last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually really cool and pretty amazing that he did it in less than 24 hours. I think he did his in, like, 21, inked, penciled, everything. The concept he came up with that day. And it was really neat. I mean, it's a really cool thing to watch these guys try and come up with something and fully produced comic book in 24 hours.
It wasn't a comic book about someone trying to draw a comic book in 24 hours, was it?
No, it's like it was an old man sitting on his porch and sort of reminiscing about the old neighborhood and the
poignant.
Yeah, it was really good.
Very nice.
So, buymetoys.com won't stop you from eating.
They will
you
not.
Can go, you can get food.
All right, our September contest, the Around Comics Trivia Challenge, is heating up, and
Tom's,
the competition
Tom's
is fierce.
Not nearly ahead as far as he was any longer.
No,
yeah, but he wasn't crapping about the winner being the guy who finishes second, or gal who finishes second.
I'm up there. I'm still competing. I had a 4 out of 10 today. But
I think my highest in the last 5 days has been like 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
I had one bad one the other day. At 7
but,
out of 10.
You know, it's what I am tired of is people complaining. It's people complaining about bad questions on there. Get over it. Got it.
Yeah, it's a stupid trivia.
Yeah, it's
trivia. It's
stupid.
Not going to be
we'll
fair.
We'll send you quarter books, too.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, for the previous contest, only two people asked for me to send them a quarter book, and I sent it to them. So the rest of you, sorry. Too bad.
You have to ask.
Yeah.
Oh, they had to come back and ask you all over
they
again?
They had to give me their address. I
didn't
know their address.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure, they're waiting for their quarter books.
They're getting their Marvel 2-in-1s.
Guys, hotline.
Yes.
Sal?
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. We've actually had a bunch in the last week of people leaving us voicemails.
And here's one.
Hey, guys. It's Vince B. from the Bullpen Bulletins podcast. I just wanted to call and, you know, thank Brain Salazoid for sending us that great message that we played on episode 3A of our Bullpen Bulletins podcast.
Rick.
I'm grateful to him for doing that. You know, every time I sit down with David to record an episode of the Bullpen Bulletin podcast, I always say, you know, those guys that are around comics, they're so much fun.
That's twice.
To talk to and to be around. It's such a pleasure to be able to do the Bullpen Bulletins podcast.
Three.
Knowing that we have friends who also do podcasts, which is the same thing as the Bullpen Bulletins
Four.
Podcast, only different, you know. So, you know, I just wanted to check in with you guys and tell you thank you. And, oh, by the way, if you want to hear the latest episode of the Bullpen Bulletins podcast, which is 3A, it's out there, and it's a lot of fun. You know, and like I said, Brain Salazar's on it, and even Mr. Chris Niesman makes an appearance. So that's, you know, that's always fun when you can have the head honcho of Around Comics on your show.
Good,
it was an honor to be able to feature Christopher Niesman on our show, and because the guy knows so much about comics, he's just a joy to listen to. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for doing that for us, for being on the Bullpen Bulletins podcast. Tom, love you. And John Santos is probably there too, right? Guys, I'm not
sure what
to do.
Amazing.
Hey, John, what's up, Mark?
Is he okay? Is John
listen
okay?
Listen to the Bullpen Bulletin
John
podcast.
Is fine.
It's great. People tell us that.
He does want to get
tune in, man. We'll see you.
I'm surprised he didn't just start rattling off XML code so you can just type it right into your computer.
Bullpen Bulletins, Bullpen Bulletins.
I've never heard of their show.
Check out the Bullpen. What was it again?
Crap.
It's called Bullet Pens.
Bullet Pens podcast?
Bullet Pens, yeah.
They're doing a great job.
It is fun to listen to them.
Shopping Around Comics. No one can see, but I'm wearing my Around Comics t-shirt that I got from Cafe Press.
It's a very nice t-shirt, too.
I love it. It's
you
actually
look really
nice.
Good in it.
It's much nicer than I thought
do
it was
do I look
spelt?
Do I make you? No, I'm not.
No, you look. You look electrifying, is what I would say.
Oh, I did not get a bowl of soup with this shirt. Yeah, so Shopping Around Comics, you can get
it's a fine logo
apparel. I got a coffee mug, the Amazon store there. So lots of fun stuff at the site. Long Box of Love, Brian Bowles once again, amazing work.
And I was so disappointed because he did such a great one for the Rucka interview that you will see next week. But it was like I really wanted to see people see that one because it was pretty funny.
You have to wait for that. But it is a lot.
Did he do
of fun.
Like a fill in stick figure one for this episode? That's like. Two blank panels and then like one stick figure saying.
Well,
I couldn't
tell him what the show is about because honestly I don't know what the show is going to be about. We'll get to that in a minute. But the Around
Popery.
Comics newsletter.
It's a teaser.
The Around Comics newsletter. Sign up for our newsletter and maybe I will send you a newsletter.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my newsletter.
And you'll get annoyed after 4.
Although I don't know if it's working correctly because nobody has signed up other than me at this point.
I did.
Thought I signed
you
up.
Did?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe when today.
A couple days ago.
I did it the first day.
I think I don't know. Might be broken. I don't know.
Frapper.
Frapper, join our Frapper. Oh, yeah, we have the Frapper page on our site, and it's basically you can go in there and put your zip code and your name, and it'll put you a little marker on a map, a global map of where you're
at. Even if you live in Stockholm.
And we've gotten, like 60 people on there so far, and I just wanted to give some shout-outs to the people there. Tobias Enborg from Stockholm, Sweden.
Hello, Sweden.
That's so weird.
Film Fairy, who is actually one of, I think we have four women on our Frapper page
she's in
now.
Chicago.
And she's in Chicago. Yeah.
If that is a she.
Well, she says she is.
Okay.
David.
You could end up on an NBC special.
David Dole in Dallas, Texas. Denise South, Ozone Park, New York. Another female.
That sounds like something out of Godland or something. Ozone Park.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool to live in Ozone Park. It'd be better than, like, Fishkill, New York.
Yes.
Kind of be.
But skinny. Not as good as Las Vegas.
Mike Farley from Las Vegas, Nevada. Lee Webb from Australia.
Victoria.
Wow. Ruba Elfara from Fallbrook, California. Patrick Kunkel from George Washington. There's a George Washington.
Oh, that's funny.
Stephen Lecompton from Kansas. Mm-hmm. Kansas. So I just want to say hey to all you guys that have signed up on Frapper, and there's a bunch more, but this was the most recent. And so I think every week we'll try and give a shout out to whoever signs up in that week.
And if they have the
chance, they can spread the Around Comics love. Our listener LCS challenge. You can go to the site and thank you and download our PDF flyer and ask your store manager or owner if they will display that in their shop, just like the Source Comics and Games at 1601 West Wappentour Avenue in Falcon Heights, Minnesota. Thank you, Dan C. And California Cards and Comics, located at 9139 East Stockton Boulevard, Elk Grove, California. Thank you, Chris Chavez.
Yes, yes.
Podcast Alley, drop by there and give us a vote. We would appreciate it. And iTunes Music Reviews, be as cool as Andy Parks.
Or Steve Bryant.
Or Steve Bryant.
Or be like the super thing, cool like John Suntrance and don't use your real name.
Yeah, here's the thing. Right now on iTunes, we are the third-ranked literature podcast behind MuggleCast and PotterCast.
That's
and
right.
Those guys have like 350 reviews. Now, granted, like 100 of each one is people saying, stop listening to MuggleCast. PotterCast is the place to be, or MuggleCast is childish. PotterCast is the best. We need more of we need, I think, at least 300.
300?
Yeah.
We'll be all right. That's the new goal.
Yeah.
47.
Well, I tell you, as a thank you, and we had actually already mentioned Mike Farley, who joined the Frapper page, we got a new review this week, and it says, Andy Parks isn't the only cool guy. I originally tuned in for the John Byrne interview, but I enjoyed the show as a whole so much I've decided to stick around. I generally don't have a lot of patience for podcasts. Interviews are the exception, but Around Comics keeps me entertained throughout. This really reminds me of Wednesday nights at the local comic shop. If all the episodes are as fun as the last three, I'm in for the long haul. So,
well, we can't guarantee anything.
Yeah,
but we'll try.
And what I'm saying is that Friday is the new Wednesday now.
That's right.
Friday is
Wednesdays.
The new Wednesday.
Suck.
Wednesday, you sit at home by yourself and read.
Fridays, you know, we're here.
There you go. So yeah. If you're in the area, drop by. Our main topic, you know.
Oh, and I just want to say to Andy Parks, you know, we've been using his name to get iTunes reviews for the last few, you know, shows.
Go by Andy's work.
Yeah. Andy's such a good creator and a great guy, and we love him. We love you, Andy.
I just wish he'd pull in more reviews using his name.
Nobody really thinks that it's cool to be Andy Parks or what?
Like,
go by Capote in Kansas, and you will think it's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Main topic. Okay. Basically, Greg Rucka had to get pushed off for next week, and we had a couple other ideas. But we kind of decided to call this whatever it is. I'm calling it Sunday dinner. It's kind of what's left
potluck.
Over. Potluck. Yeah, it's potluck.
Potluck.
It's whatever is left over in the fridge. We've had a couple segment ideas that we've been working on. So we're going to play around on this episode. So what I'm calling this first segment is...
God.
He's queuing up.
He's queuing up his iPod.
Five questions for Tom and Sal. You'll have 30 seconds to answer. 30 seconds to answer.
Are these like trivia questions?
No, it's just I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh, thank goodness.
You give me an answer, and you have 30 seconds.
Sort of like word association, just what's top
like word
of our
association.
Head.
And
no deep thinking.
And,
are we supposed to debate it? Like Tom says something, and I just play devil's advocate.
Cross, you know what?
Right? Does everything have to be so confrontational on the show?
I kind of threw this together. We'll see what it is. But you got 30 seconds, and I'm going to start with Tom.
Yes.
Okay.
Begin.
He's pumped.
Warren Ellis and Garth Ennis get into a knife fight. Who wins? Go.
I'm going to go with Warren Ellis because he would bring like 25 knives with him. Just like he writes like 60 comic books.
You've got 25 more seconds.
And I think
30 seconds is a lot of time.
Yeah,
it should be like
time,
5
yeah.
seconds.
Garth Ennis wouldn't win because he would be too busy like drinking Guinness. But Warren Ellis, because he's a
wait,
a
no getting help from the peanut gallery here.
I already gave my. I don't think I should have to.
Well,
speak
I think you're
seconds.
Completely wrong.
Oh, see, now it's kind
of first. Warren Ellis is
stop.
What?
You
what
just
the hell
want
is
to
that?
Need
serious attitude adjustment, young man. You better get your priorities straight.
All right.
No spin zone.
Sal, your
are
turn.
We doing a game show.
Warren Ellis and Garth Ennis get into a knife fight. Who wins?
Garth Ennis, absolutely, just because he's younger, stronger. He hasn't had a debilitating illness to take him out of writing comics for months, and he doesn't walk with a cane. And although there is the off chance that Warren Ellis would use some sort of his amazing cult-like powers of, charisma and the ability to
cane
get
the
people
sword.
To... he could have a sword and a cane. He could
cane
have
a
sword
cane.
All right. Thank God. This is the dumbest game.
I made it. You eat it.
Jesus
what the
Christ.
What is that?
I made it. You eat it.
All right, Sal.
Is that Mr. T?
Yes.
All right, Sal. You go first. Pick one of these three characters to kill off and tell us why.
Ooh, ooh.
Batman, Wolverine, or Hellboy. Go.
Batman. I would say kill off Batman. The character's been around too long, and they've just done too many stories about Bruce Wayne, and it would be more interesting to have the mantle of Batman exist with a new character to bring a whole new set of ideas and that kind. And I think it would be a really cool cemetery scene that Michael Turner could do a cover of with
everyone, no one facing the grave, everyone turned away.
I must hurry back to my comic book store where I dispense the insults rather than absorb them.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Are we winning a prize? Am I taking home like a door prize at the
Tom,
end of this?
Tom, your retort. Pick one of these three characters to kill off and tell us why.
Allow me to retort.
Wolverine or Hellboy.
I'm actually going to agree with him on Batman.
You can't do that.
I can't. Well, no, the thing is, killing Wolverine wouldn't work because someone would bring him back. Because it's not like
it's Marvel.
He's just going to bring him back. And I like Hellboy too much.
Yeah, no way. Hellboy? Why would you kill Hellboy?
I wanted a Marvel, a DC, and an indie.
But Batman, someone else could be Batman. And
yeah,
it'd still be interesting.
Tim Drake.
I'd like that. Did you hear me, Batman? Batman fans?
Kill Bruce Wayne. Beat him with a crowbar.
It should have been like Aunt May.
It's always the same. I can save the world 10 times over. But when I need help, I'm on my own. Thanks. For nothing.
Dicks.
Who was that? What was that?
That was Peter Parker.
Oh.
Next question. And this is Tom. Pick four comic book characters and or creators from any time period that you could have dinner with.
Both combined?
Either.
Any
characters.
Mixture.
Oh, I would have dinner with the Spectre because he's kind of like a zombie and he's magical. I'd have dinner with Gardner Fox because I think he was weirder than people give him credit for. I would also pick Alan Moore because I also think he's incredibly odd. And if I would pick Barry Allen so I could hug him. And say everything would be all right.
What would that be? That sucks.
Okay.
I checked the four best ones.
Sal, same question.
Four
comic book characters
or creators
that you could have dinner with. Go.
I think first, Alan Moore would have to be on there just because he is incredibly interesting and deranged, and we'd end up doing a lot of drugs. probably. Zantana, just because I think she's easily manipulated. I could probably get her drunk and hit on her.
I'm going to change my mind.
Will Eisner.
God damn it.
Because he's brilliant. And, who else? Hellboy. I don't know. I can't think of that.
Wolverine is the best at what he does.
You're killing independent joy.
I'd probably like.
Okay. He's the best at what he does, and what he does is eat.
Next question. Sal, you start off this time. If you could write Spider-Man or Superman for one arc, which would you choose and what would you do? Go.
Come on, how am I supposed to answer that? I would probably pick Superman because I think that character is not used properly most of the time, and I would try and bring him back to more of his roots and explore the dichotomy of his alien / human being, if you will.
Wrong answer.
No, now go away. We're racing for the title of the champion of the universe.
All right. Tom, same question. If you could write either Spider-Man or Superman, which would it be and what would you do?
You know,
go.
I'd pick Spider-Man and I would do something really weird with Spider-Man, like something I'm pretty sure fans would hate. I'd do something like just sort of like cosmic and put Peter Parker like someplace you haven't seen him outside of just being like, I need money for my job. Like put him in an environment where...
Prison.
The average man, sort of. Yeah, prison. Where his average viewpoint would be really interesting to see. And then I'd make him change his costume.
Give him some 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
And I clone him.
I do that with Superman, too.
You missed my sound bit.
Oh, sorry.
I talked right over my sound bit.
Can you play it again?
Yeah, it was really funny, too.
I'm sure.
Dead air, guys.
We're waiting.
Dead air, guys.
So up your asses.
That's it?
Oh, man.
All right.
You know what I would do?
Tom.
I would clone Superman.
No, you're done.
Oh,
you're
sorry.
Done.
Last one.
Oh. What comic in your collection are you the most ashamed of?
Oh, probably this book that the manager slipped into my collection, which is, I'll bring it someday. It's like a bunch of almost pornographic pinup shots of like animal looking humans, like foxes with like cleavage. And I have it and I haven't thrown it away and it's sitting somewhere. And that is not only the most shameful book, the most shameful thing I've ever owned in my entire life. And that's saying a lot for someone that has owned a wide range of dildos.
A wide range.
Wide range.
I don't even want to get into that subject.
You were the reason I was afraid to go to school as a child.
Just pulling horrible lines.
And Sal, what comic in your collection are you the most ashamed of?
None. I have no shame. So I don't know. I don't even.
I'm
not ashamed of any comics I own. Christ.
Make one up.
I don't even know.
Pop-Tarts?
I don't have any. I have no idea. I really honestly can't answer. I don't even know what's in my collection.
I win.
There is no tomorrow.
Thank you, Apollo.
There is no tomorrow.
Do you want to touch my monkey?
Jeez.
All right.
Good Lord. Give the man an iPod and a...
So there's...
in the zoo crew.
I got to tell you. Let me tell you. I want to say what I'm doing this weekend.
How big is your wife's rack?
That's So five questions with Tom.
I think
Sal.
Tom definitely wins with the dildo lines. I didn't...
Who would have thunk the improv guy won?
That's not even fair.
I would ask you to tell your friends about the Around Comics podcast, but let's face it, your friends are a little bit on the two-dimensional side, aren't they?
Tom.
Yes.
You had, I think, taken this from a forum post, and you're going to run with it, no pun intended.
Oh, the Tom's
Dramatic Flash show, your dramatic reinterpretation of The Flash number 4.
Sure, I can do that.
Do we need, like, intro music or anything for this?
No, I might actually need an issue of Flash number 4 to remember, so I can I'm going to do a quick,
sure,
like...
it's not sold out.
Yeah, it's not sold out. It sucks. I'm going to do a quick one-minute version, or maybe, like, a 45-second version of the story with sound effects.
With sound effects?
I'm
going
to make it
wow.
all up right now, so
all
here
right.
we go.
All right, here we go.
Whoosh, whoosh, water lapping up against the boat. Oh, look, I'm a badass. I'm looking at a guy driving the boat. I'm going to jump on the boat. Ah, no, the boat's exploding. Oh, no, it didn't. And it's not drawn that way, though. Hey, there's a new hero in town. Oh, I'm so sad. I'm the old Flash. I'm the old hero. Oh, cut to a scene where I'm wearing Oakleys. Someone's giving me a fake check. Making for the fake check. Oh, I'm Bart. I'm so angry looking at it. Oh, I wish I wasn't so mopey, but I wish I was the Flash. Oh, I used to be the Flash. Ah. Oh, hey, roommate, what's up? Oh, not much. I own a big fancy car, and I'm a dick. You want to go for a test drive? You got a shotgun? Where are we going? Straight to hell, boy. Straight to hell. Oh, cut to a scene in a bar called Hell. Oh, that's nice. Look at all these extreme women with their tattoos and earrings. Oh, man, this is awesome. Oh. But there's a girl you really like. Oh, he's hitting on other women. Oh, you don't want to hit this? No, I'm sad and mopey. Oh, that makes me so angry for no reason. Oh, these powers are making me insane. Oh, come on, fellow extreme women, let's leave. Oh, now I'm at the hospital, and they're having tests so they can point out again that there's been other flashes and show pictures of the other flashes. Oh, don't walk away. I love you, and you love me too, and I'm going to wear the costume, even though I said I never would. Bam! And now I'm Jay Garrick, and I'm going to stop these bank robbers. Why did this bank robber just call me a pimp? Retired this pimp. Boom, explosion. And I'm angry because that guy almost killed the bank robbers. And now we're going to do another scene, and this is really hard to do for a long period of time to talk this way. Oh, I pushed you out the window. I'm putting on the costume again, even though I said I never would. I zoom out the window, and then we're going to bring back an old character that nobody cares about at the end, but actually Tom's pretty excited about. And that's it. That's Flash number 5.
4.
4. Flash. But I hope I didn't ruin the Flash for anyone.
Wow.
That's the most fanboy you will ever hear us get on this show. And it's because Tom sincerely is distraught about the direction
of
the Flash.
It's better that way.
It's better
it's
that...
It's funnier.
Well, Tom, I'm sure that the Flash will get better at some point. And are you going to be the guy that tells us when it's safe to buy it again?
I might drop it. I don't know. I can't do that anymore.
When was the last time you didn't read Flash?
Read the Flash? When I was 7.
Ooh. Man.
So
before I started reading comics.
Wow, that's not good.
It'll get better, buddy.
That's not
good.
Better.
Oh, I'm not worried.
All right, well, I tell you what. Let's talk about some...
Everyone's acting
like... Let's talk about some promising.
It's like somebody died, you know?
I'll just pick it up when it starts getting better again.
You'll be all right, man. Just... It's okay.
Fuck this cancer. God, it's killing my brain.
Okay, let's talk about some promising superhero work from a very nice young man that we met at Wizard World Chicago. His name is Greg Waller. Sal, why don't you tell the folks about a new series called Magnitude.
Magnitude is a 5-issue limited series coming from Ape Entertainment.
You're not reading that, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Am I not supposed to?
No, I was just joking.
It's debuting sometime.
It's debuting in December 13th. It will be in next week's previews. And the first issue cover is by John Byrne. And story by... story by Greg Waller.
Yeah.
And art by Greg Waller and Axel Jimenez. Mm-hmm. I saw the cover today. It was pretty cool.
It's
Greg was telling us at Wizard World, if you listen to our Wizard World show.
We're looking at it right now.
It's fantastic.
He kind of mentioned, or he told us in secret that he was working on getting John to do a cover for him, but he couldn't talk about it really because it wasn't finalized. And
surprise,
so cool
surprise, we said, how'd that happen? He's like, I kind of asked him.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
He didn't stab him?
Yeah. He didn't try and poke his eye out with a spoon or anything?
I sent you the drawing, but it's covered in anthrax. That's what you get for asking.
So, folks, previews order code is...
OCT063121. $3.50 retail. F discount, if that makes any sense.
F discount.
I don't know what that means. Oh, and if you want to check out Magnitude, you can go to voltagecomics.com.
Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to it. Basically, how Greg described it is just a fun superhero comic, and it's kind of bringing back everything that's fun about superheroes. So now,
bringing it back,
Sal, we had kind of sifted through some news stories, which we're going to get to the news later. But you want to talk about a couple things, one of those being Toxic Shock Comics.
Oh, yeah. This was just a book by a guy, Mike Stornio. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
We're
Mike.
Gonna call him Mike.
I know
S.
Mike. Mike, yeah.
Mike.
But this was, geez, I think like 2 years ago. Maybe a year ago. He was asking around if anybody wanted to do a logo for his book, and I did, and so he printed it, and... it was kind of neat that I had my logo on, or a logo I created on his book, Toxic Shock Comics. He just sent me some copies of it, and it looked pretty good. And it's 24 pages, black and white. And you can check out that at their website, which is, I think it's a MySpace/ToxicShock.com.
If you're out there and you're young, you know what MySpace is.
That's right. Hey. If you're hip and cool. I had the whole... Oh, here it is. MySpace.com/toxic_shock_comics.
All right, so,
Adam,
check it out. Are you guys ready for another listener voicemail from the hotline?
Sure,
why not?
This is from Chris Chavez.
Equinox.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Chavez, Equinox on the forums. I was trying to find out what your guys' take as far as spending habits on mainstream versus independent books. If you feel like there's a need as far as buying a certain amount of independent books, you know, sharing out the love, giving the support for the books, or if you're basically your spending habits are just based on, you know, personal taste and you like what you like and buy what you buy based on that. You know, I'm really enjoying the show. You know, love the fact that I got to drop the F-bomb, you know, via voicemail. No, Tom's not a pussy, but, you know, wow, no, okay.
You don't know,
he's not. Tom's a cool guy. Anyway, have a great time. Good luck with Rucka next week, and we'll talk to you soon. Keep up the good work, and hope you guys have a great week as well. Bye.
Oh, that's nice.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris Chavez. That was nice. So, guys, spending habits, and you know, once again, you know, not that we're comic experts, but you know, just our personal spending habits.
I'm a comic expert.
Self-proclaimed.
Do you guys, I guess what he's asking is, do you feel a responsibility whenever you say, this is my comic budget for the month that I need to put X amount aside for independent books?
I just buy whatever I think's good.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't necessarily go, well, I have to spend this much on independent books because, quite honestly, if it's not good, I'm not going to buy it, regardless if it's an independent book. I mean, sometimes you get that sense of, you know, they need you more than Marvel does, so I should buy their books. But quite honestly, they wouldn't need you so badly if they didn't create books nobody wanted to read. And that's not, I mean, there's plenty of independent books out there that I do read, but I don't go in thinking I have to spend this kind of money on independent books.
You don't go in and buy like every single cover of Red Sonja because you...
I don't read Red Sonja at all.
Well, and I think
quite honestly,
and I think the way to look at it is both ways. You know, just buy what's good, and
or, well, not even what's good. What interests you?
Well, yeah. Well, what's good to you?
Yeah.
So you know, don't feel like you have to buy a Marvel or DC book.
But unless it's Exterminators, because we think it's good.
Yeah,
so you should buy that.
Right.
Because we
well, but there is a certain amount of like I'll, you know, whenever I go through like previews or whatever, and I'll be making my list of stuff I'm buying for that month. And I get to the sort of end of it, and that's where all the independent stuff, and there's stuff in there that I see, and I'm like, oh, you know, I kind of want to get that. If it's something I really want, I'll go back, you know, but it's sort of out of my budget. I'll go back and maybe cut some mainstream books that...
you're not enjoying?
Yeah. And do that kind of thing. So I do feel a little bit of...
My personal purchasing rule that I set is I try every week when I go to the shop to buy one book that I've never read before. And I usually try and make that an independent book. It may be, you know, it may be a Marvel or DC book that's been recommended, but I always try and buy one book that
that's
I haven't
rule.
Read before.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. It's like...
I thought you were going to, like, give us some, like, homespun Southern Illinois.
When you boil a frog...
Don't buy a book that you couldn't trust to make a raft out of if you had a whole box of them. Something like that, or, like, boiling a
frog. I think that's a good... I think that's a good... I mean, you know, because that's sort of... what you should try and do is find other stuff that you like. And you know what? Sometimes you'll buy stuff and you won't like it. But if you don't try other things, you're just going to be reading the same old Flash books.
Most of the books that I absolutely love, I would not read if I hadn't, you know, stepped out of my comfort zone and picked up, you know, that book that first time.
Comfort zone.
Yeah. So, Chris, thank you very much for sending in a voicemail on the hotline. We actually have a couple more later on in the show. So,
I just thought we should start a segment called The Comfort Zone, where we recommend a very high-selling book.
Civil War.
We hear it's good.
Welcome to The Comfort Zone. You'll probably enjoy this.
There were a couple other things that you had marked down that you wanted to chit chat about.
Oh yeah, you know, there was a guy when we were in Chicago when we were at Wizard World Chicago. One night at the bar, a gentleman by the name of Joshua Elders came up to us after hearing us talk, because I'm
yammer,
yeah, loud when I'm drunk, and who knows what I was saying. But
who wants to fight me?
No,
who wants to fight me?
There is no tomorrow. He overheard us and he wanted us to check out his book. And he does a manga book called Mail Order Ninja. And I've read it, and I just haven't had a chance to write a review of it or talk about it all. And I just want to kind of mention it to give you sort of the pitch that it's a Tokyopop book. And basically it's Mail Order Ninja is every young boy's dream come true. Imagine having an all-powerful ninja to do your bidding. Well, little Timmy has one, and bullies better watch out. So it's sort of a kid's book to some degree, but it's, to me, what I liked about it was that it was like smart cartoons that, you know, because I have a daughter who's 4 years old and she loves cartoons. And I hate the cartoons that really are just only for kids because they're boring to me. But there's some really good cartoons out there that are smart enough to write for both kids and adults. And a lot of the animated movies you see, you know, from Disney and Pixar are the same way, where it's, there's nothing overt, but, you know, there's stuff in there that a four-year-old just is going to, it's going to go over their head, but an adult is going to get and enjoy and laugh at, that kind of thing. And this has sort of the same feel. It's a kid's story. It's about a little kid who gets picked on, and he ends up ordering this ninja through mail order. and it's funny, but there's some sort of slick usage of almost like drop-ins, like when they introduce a new character, like the popular girl at school. There's like a tab that comes up, and you read her profile, and it tells you all about her, you know, and her quirks, and it was just kind of funny stuff of that. So I just wanted to talk about you know, his book a little bit and mention it.
And he actually won his
Rising. He won a contest at Tokyopop
Rising Stars,
and won it. So I just wanted to mention it, and like I said, Joshua Elders, he wrote it and drew it, and you can check out that at tokyopop.com/p-36.
Mm-hmm. Order Ninja, check it out.
Yeah.
I tell you what, let's hop around here a little bit. Got a couple listener emails. The first one is from Joe Dunn. Says, hi, my name is Joe Dunn, and I've really enjoyed listening to Around Comics for the past 2 months. Since I haven't heard all the shows, I was wondering if you guys have ever done a show with the top trades / comics of all time, like a list of each of the panel's top 5 trades or arcs of all time. I'm a fairly new comic book reader, and it would be great to hear top trades or arcs I could catch up on. Thanks for your time, and keep up the great work on this awesome podcast. So thank you, Joe, for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
We've not done...
Well, we did show where it was...
It was with Chris Marshall.
Comics
Chris
101.
Marshall, and it was comics for new readers.
Yeah.
It was episode 10,
something,
I think,
like that,
or 14. But, yeah, look up.
It was after that, because we did it while we started recording.
Oh, we were here, so it would have been like episode 16, 17, something like that. But, it's called Comic Books 101 with Chris Marshall from the fantastic Collected Comics Library podcast. And that was basically our recommendations for new readers, and it was a mix of great cornerstone stories, but also stuff that's a little bit more accessible.
Yeah, yeah, it was real, I mean, hodgepodge of stuff. We threw a lot of different stuff out there, sort of with the caveats of if you like this, you'll probably like this, that kind of thing. But, I mean, the top 5 all time, if, you know, it's so hard, that kind of thing is so hard to do because it's all, subjective. I mean, it's depending, you know, or is it objective?
Subjective.
Subjective. And I always get those confused.
Well, you're going to get a lot of the same responses.
Watchmen.
People are going to say Watchmen, Dark Knight Returns.
Sure.
Prometheus.
No.
0 hour.
Zero hour.
Joke.
The Dark Knight and Watchmen are the two that you always hear.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it all depends on your taste. I mean, if you're into, you know, real independent stuff, I mean, there's tons of, you know, like American Splendor or Locust or, you know, well, the crime stuff, that's a whole nother. I mean, it really depends what you want. The best thing you can do, and hopefully you have a good comic shop near you, is go in there and talk to the manager. And if he's a good manager, he should be able to help you out finding stuff that you like.
We, for some reason, we seem to find that tell the manager at a comic shop what your favorite movies are, and then they can usually set you in the right direction. You know, there are some hardcore comic fans that say, well, you have to start with Will Eisner and the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to go and read some hieroglyphics.
Exactly.
And
English.
And that's not saying that, you know, Will Eisner was brilliant and amazing, and we love Will Eisner, but if you're new reader to the medium...
Yeah, if you're a new reader to comics, I mean, if you're a... Okay. If you like superhero stuff, do we want to just give our top five now, like kind of come up with a list?
My top five favorite of all time, or top
five if you if you were recommending a new reader, that's what he said. You know, he said comic reader, that would be, you know, I'm a fairly new comic reader, it would be great to hear top trades or arcs. He said top five trades or arcs of all time.
Yeah.
I say just go listen to the show.
Yeah.
Whatever I come up with is just gonna be gold. Same stuff I came up with.
Yeah, I would say if you like crime, get Sin City. If you like superhero stuff,
you said that like if you are a criminal. You will enjoy
Sin
City.
Interested in a B&E.
If you're a masochist.
You know, the Authority or the Ultimates, you know, is a fantastic way to get into, you know, those characters and
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Without being tied into, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man. The whole Ultimate line is really good.
If you like
stuff.
Zombies, Walking Dead, if you like knives, Wolverine.
You know, I read what was the first John's trade for Flash? Blood Will Run.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good comics. It would be easier to tell you what not to read. Yeah.
Starman is one that, you know, Animal Man. You know,
there's a ton of
JSA.
Good stuff.
It's
you can't swing a dead cat in a comic book store.
Come to the shop at Around Comics and go to the top of the stack selections, and there's a bunch of our past top.
But I mean, if you're gonna do like the top five all time, you'd have to say, like, you know, like I said, Watchmen.
John Byrne would say the first 100 issues of Fantastic Four,
Dark Knight Returns. You'd have to throw like Mouse in there. You'd have to throw maybe. I don't know.
Well, you think of collected works, and that's hard because a lot of the great
Kingdom
stuff,
Come.
Yeah, Kingdom Come. Marvel's better than Kingdom Come. But I'm a Marvel guy.
Just go into a store and just pick whatever looks good to you.
By the cover only. Don't even open it.
And if it has two covers, it means it's really awesome.
All right, guys.
Tell them that.
Here's a quick.
There's only 300 issues of that.
Good
Lord.
Collect all of
them. Actually, good intro for Batman fans, and you guys may skewer me for this, but the Batman Hush, I thought was, because it had the whole Rogues Gallery, and it was 12 really just good Batman issues. So Batman Hush, if you want to go to Batman.
Yeah, you know, I'd also pick, like, Long Halloween.
I love
the Tim Sale stuff, because they're independent stories that, you know, sit outside of any continuity, really, and, you know, great art and really good stuff that you could enjoy. Anybody that likes that kind of character, you know.
Spend time on forums. Ask questions. You're going to get good recommendations.
Yeah.
This is a big thing.
Hi, I'm Scott Johnson, illustrator for Marvel's creative department, and I'm currently working on the Tom Cater's action figure. You should all listen to Around Comics.
Here's a listener email from L. Dave.
Hey, guys, it's L. Dave. I was just calling because comic books are awesome, podcasts are awesome, and Chris said he would give me $10. All right, guys. Thank you. Bye.
Wow, you're a generous guy, giving our listeners $10 if they call in.
And he said he's going to be here on the 14th, so I'm going to have to pay him up.
Where's he from?
Dave lives in a south suburb of Chicago.
Oh, okay.
So we actually met him at Heroes Helping Legends.
I wasn't there
last week.
I didn't make it.
He didn't buy as many books as I did. So
nobody did.
Yeah, Tom, he stocked up on quarter book prizes for the next 2 years. How many comics did you
buy? About 162 books at 20 cents a piece.
All right, here's another email. Hi, guys. Just finished listening to the John Byrne interview and have to say it was a thrill to listen to John's views and historical anecdotes. I've always thought of John as one of the greatest pioneers of modern comics, so I want to thank you guys for getting this interview on the air. John may get some bad press from time to time, but he's one of the most prolific and consistently great creators that a lot of current creators would take a lesson from. He's a boon to the comic industry, and I look forward to his future works. Around Comics is a great way to get great commentary and insight on the comics of today, and also a great way to get through the work day. Thanks, and keep up the good work.
This is what it's all about, is helping people not do work. helping people lose concentration.
That's what we're about. Whenever we were talking about Magnitude, did we read the description of the book?
Yeah, I did. You laughed at me.
The full description of the book?
I didn't read the page? The whole thing, no.
Well, I want to read that, because talking about John Byrne, what a nice guy he was to do that cover for Greg.
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Is this like a stream of consciousness show now, or are we just kind of going?
Magnitude. It's a full-on balls-to-the-wall superhero action adventure, and I've thrown everything and the kitchen sink into it. Tons of superheroes, giant robots, time travel, global nuclear war, and most importantly, the one major thing I think is missing in today's superhero comics, fun. It's about the greatest superhero from the future sent back in time to stop the world's greatest superhero in the present from conquering and destroying the planet and arriving just a bit too late to stop it from starting. So there we go. Pick up Magnitude. We've got another listener email here, or voicemail, I should say.
I just wanted to call in and say that I think you should let Tom talk more.
Yeah, I agree.
That he's handsome and very talented.
I am.
And they keep up the good work.
So I have no idea who that was that sent in.
It sounded like whoever it was at work and didn't want anyone to overhear what they were singing to the phone. I can't imagine who that could have been. But anyway, he made a lot of really good points. Let's talk about it. How talented am I? Five questions for Chris. Name five things Tom's good at.
Oh, hell no. Let's read this next email, which is actually a Hey Tom.
Hey Tom. Is that a new segment?
Hey Tom.
Hey Tom, I just wanted to ask what group or groups you do improv with. Next time I'm in Chicago, I will check out your stuff. I was glad to hear you educate the comic book community. Hey, will you guys shut up? See? I was acting. Look, I'm not mad.
How much did you have to pay for that?
That's free. That improv is free, guys. I was glad to hear that you
educated... But seriously, you guys shut up.
Shut up. I was glad to hear you educate the comic book community about the important difference between improv and stand-up. He has an amusing racist anecdote.
What?
An Indian guy at a store at work often calls... Do you think he wants me to read this?
I wouldn't read it. No, let's not read that.
No, I'm sorry. All right. He didn't. We can edit that out.
All right.
Anyway, the groups I perform with, no one wants to perform with me anymore. I'm doing a one-man show called...
You're too talented.
I'm too talented. Yeah, well, it's like, you know, performing with God. That's not anything. I perform with a group called the House Appropriations Committee, and we perform wherever people will allow us to show up. I'm also putting together a show called Black and White Cookie, so keep an eye out for that. I fucking hate plugging myself. I feel like such a, like a shill right now.
All
right. Come check out my show and watch me make up stuff. Watch the lazy man's play. I don't need a script.
We got another email. This one says, fellas, thanks for such a great show. I love the fact that you guys have a great sense of mainstream comics, but also a love of some offbeat stuff that I've heard of and some way out there stuff that I can't wait to read. Great to hear people who care about this stuff as much as I do and who aren't afraid to drop the occasional F-bomb.
He means fuck.
Oh. I feel like you guys are sitting at my table and drinking my beer, which I'd be okay with. If you don't stop talking, they can't really tell you to shut up. Robbie.
If you tell us where you are,
we'll come over and drink your beer. Absolutely.
Where are you? I'll come drink your beer and sit at your table.
Yeah, we love comics. Mm-hmm. That's why we do it. Absolutely.
And we tolerate each other.
And you, well, yeah. Sort of. We love each other. I love you, Tom.
I love you too, though.
Although you are
too talented.
You guys
are on that side of the table.
Sal and I sit on the same side of the table.
We sit in the same chair.
We sit on
They share the same mic.
We sit in one of those movie seats, that are like
the love seat, the little love seat that rocks.
Sal and I sit back. And all right, sort of, our mics are very close.
Let's talk about some comics. There was a neat story, and we will get to the news here in just a little bit. But there was one that didn't make the news, but I think we all want to talk about, and that is Marvel remastering the Essentials and in the Tomb of Dracula. What is that? The
Volume Four Essentials. Yeah. They released it last year in some blogger. A guy who does a blog called The Groovy Age of Horror. Somebody was asking him about it, and he actually posted some pictures that he scanned in from his own collection.
Oh, boy, did he.
Yeah, and it seems that they went back. The originals had a lot of bare breasts, and Gene Colan art, and he liked to draw women's breasts.
Who doesn't?
Sure. And Marvel made the decision that when they were releasing the Essentials, that they were going to cover those breasts up, and they went in and put shirts on where they didn't exist before. And
actually, did a really nice job.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that was sort of the key, is nobody really noticed until a year later that it had ever happened.
I know there's breasts in this issue.
Somewhere. I remember winking to them.
What happened is, and the way I understand it from the story, is that the first couple volumes of Tomb of Dracula were reprints of the Tomb of Dracula comic, the color comic, and now they've moved into the Marvel magazine, where the black and white, more adult-oriented magazine. So
wink, wink.
It's still Gene Colan art, it's still the Tomb of Dracula, but it's a more adult-oriented comic. And they had already started the precedent of reprinting the age-appropriate Dracula comics, and now they don't want to throw mature readers only on the Essentials. So it was just, I guess, easier for them to go in and draw shirts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a problem with it. They're releasing those books so that
it doesn't change anybody, the integrity of the story, in my opinion. So.
Except for the one that's called Breast versus Dracula.
Well,
which has now become
my favorite post on the forum was actually, I think it was Chris Chavez said, "Man, Mean Gene Colan sure could draw a rack."
That he could. He could.
The man was talented.
He could draw anything, you know, really.
For your misogynistic or piggish, fascist,
You know, you can't. I mean, you know, Marvel's gonna. Of course, they're gonna. What are they gonna do? Release one volume of Essentials that's for adults only?
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't make much sense. I mean, if you want to see those breasts that Gene Colan drew, go
earn it.
Or go online.
Go to a con and pick up those old issues.
So. Google breasts.
But it is interesting that they're doing it, and it the only thing about it is it makes you wonder what else they may be changing from the original works of anything else that they put in the Essentials. You know, whether it's commentary or, you know, unflattering.
Line
especially, I mean, you look at stuff that was, you know, around, you know, World War II era. Stuff, you know, there's a lot of racist stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you're wondering if they're changing that or, you know, I don't know. There hasn't really been any other, but
people don't get offended by that. People get offended by breasts.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of weird?
That's what kind of struck me from this whole thing is that they're having to clean up something from 1980. It's like, where are we in our society? That stuff that came out 26 years ago is not appropriate anymore. I mean,
right, but at the same time, look at it from their perspectives. They're, you know, at that time, those books were sold with the understanding that while they didn't say for adults only, the comic shops knew what they were, and they had the understanding that they were for adults. An Essentials trade is not. I mean, it's supposed to be for anybody. And that's the whole point of it.
The woman's body is beautiful. We should look at that.
I think it's a shame that any characters in any book have to wear clothes at all. Except Dracula should be.
Except thanks for pulling me out under
except
the bus
the
from
thing.
Under the bus there, Tom.
Yeah, the Hulk shouldn't have to. I mean, the Thing shouldn't have to wear those tiny shorts.
I don't know. You can certainly talk, but you know what? Quite honestly,
it's their
property.
They can do whatever
property.
They want.
Right.
We voted it as it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Where's your right. fancy
yeah,
sound effect
the
for that?
Sound effect for it doesn't matter.
I don't have a you guys. I can start bringing sound effects.
All
right, Sal. Was there anything else on your list of Sunday dinner cleanup?
Oh
that
yeah.
You wanted to get out of here before it gets old and moldy.
Air the grievances. The airing of grievances.
Harlan Ellison suing Fantagraphic.
Oh,
that was an interesting story.
Harlan.
You know, it's an, you know, I went in and I read a bunch about it because I didn't. I mean, I've read Harlan Ellison stuff, but I had no idea what this was about really, with Fantagraphics in it. And I went and there was a huge, like 30,000 word article that this guy wrote for The Guardian, and it really went into the entire history. And this is like a 20-year-old feud between Gary Groth and Harlan Ellison.
Well, Ellison isn't known for not speaking his mind. You know?
Certainly. So oh, absolutely. And you know, and he's also gone to court against the likes of, like, you know, ABC.
And he wins.
And he wins. He does win. And so Fantagraphics, you know. And after learning more about the history of it and why the suit was brought up, it's almost a mistake by Harlan to do it, because now it gives Fantagraphics the ability to turn around and go, well, see, he's trying to suppress the First Amendment, because he's trying to, you know, basically they published this book of, it's a book that a guy wrote in France about the reason why Harlan Ellison never published an anthology work that he was working on for a long time with a bunch of other writers. And it's a book about, like, all the bad things that he did and how he hurt all these writers. And, you know, it's biased, obviously. It's not like an unbiased report, you know. And so he was trying to get that, he was trying to get that stopped from being published. And, you know, now it just gives Fantagraphics the ability to turn around and go, well, you know, he's trying to suppress a book, you know. And it's like, yeah, but it's about him, and it's not really. It goes a long way. But it's an interesting thing that, you know, as much as I like a lot of what Fantagraphics does on the comic book end of things, the, you know, comic journal and their journalism and the way they do stuff sometimes is, you know, petty to say the least. I mean, sometimes they, you know, truly have brought a level of integrity to, like, comic book journalism that doesn't exist anywhere else. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like, you know, our website or what we do is anything like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they turn around and do stuff that's, like,
well,
silly.
I lent you that book that was that series of interviews with creators.
You
know, and a lot of those were by Fantagraphics, sort of.
Right.
And you read the interviews, and it's very, some of the interviews are very good, but then some interviews, as you will through any media source, like, are very much baiting questions, try and. And it all depends on the person, and it's not, it's.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing.
I mean, that's the thing about their, you know,
kind of Jim Gray type.
I mean, if you're going to put yourself out as a journalist, as a true journalist, shouldn't you sort of be unbiased in your reporting of what happens? Otherwise, you're a columnist or, you know, you're someone giving your opinion, and it's like they sometimes seem to have agendas with their reporting.
Sometimes I think they get into the trap of that they want to be journalists, but they also want to be successful.
Yeah.
Publishers. They want to sell stuff.
And they also have
a
chip on their shoulders about their elitist attitudes, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So there's a lot of things that work with them that I think sometimes clouds up stuff that they do.
Yeah.
That isn't necessarily the most pure, you know,
form of journalism.
We should get some folks on from Fantagraphics and talk with them about it.
Kim Thompson, it would be an interesting fella to have on, but I don't know how willing at this point they are to talk about it because, you know, it's an ongoing lawsuit. So.
Never talk about a lawsuit.
Never, yeah, that's, yeah, I think
never
he,
talk about
yeah,
a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it's an interesting, it'll be an interesting story to see what happens with it because, you know, anytime you get sued by someone like him, it's not a good thing.
No.
He's scrappy.
All right, guys, I think we have that wrapped up. Let's move over to the news desk. It is time for Wire to Wire Comic News.
These are your top stories for the week of September 18th, 2006. Jeff Smith, creator of the indie title Bone, announced the first leg of a year-long Bone World Tour to promote the release of the Color Bone volumes across Europe and North America. Smith's company, Cartoon Books, which licensed the color rights in the U.S. to Scholastic Books in 2005, has now found publishing partners in Greece, Spain, France, the U.K., Norway, Italy, and French Canada, and there will be tour stops in all of those countries. Scholastic, under the imprint Graphics, has sold over 1 million copies of the Color Bone editions to date. For Jeff Smith's full tour schedule, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Warner Books and DC Comics announced that novelist Brad Meltzer has become the first author to top the New York Times bestseller list and Diamond Comic Distributors' top 100 sales chart simultaneously. To celebrate, Brad Meltzer has decided to go on a U.S. book tour. Meltzer's new thriller, The Book of Fate, which debuts atop the New York Times list on September 24th, features a decade-old presidential crossword puzzle, a disturbing secret buried in Masonic history, and a 200-year-old secret code invented by Thomas Jefferson. Issue number one of Meltzer's Justice League America, which tells the story of the reformation of the world's greatest superhero team, anchored by Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, is the overall top comic book in both dollars and units in Diamond Comic Distributors' top 300 sales chart for the month of October. For Brad Meltzer's complete tour schedule, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Mark your calendars and book your travel reservations. Next Thursday, September 28th, is the gala opening of Fantagraphics 1976 to 2006 at the Society of Illustrators in New York. This massive art exhibition features over 100 original pieces by dozens of authors published by Fantagraphics over the last 30 years. Artists including Daniel Klaus, Gilbert Hernandez, Jamie Hernandez, Chris Ware, Peter Baggy, Jim Woodring, Joe Sacco, Ivan Brunetti, Tony Millionaire, Bill Griffith, Frank Frazetta, and many more. It will be an amazing show with many iconic pieces from Fantagraphics history. The exhibition runs September 27th through October 21st at the Museum of American Illustration at the Society of Illustrators at 128 East 63rd Street, New York, New York. According to the Los Angeles Times, Johnny Depp is set to play the lead character in the film adaptation of Arvid Nelson's Rex Mundi. Jim Ouels, who adapted Fight Club, will write the screenplay based on the comic series, which has recently moved from Image Comics to Dark Horse. Depp will both star and produce the film through his Infinitum Nihil, or Infinite Nothing, production company. C.B. Cebulski unleashes martial arts horror with Drain, the first in a slew of new projects from the writer. With a never-before-seen mix of history, mythology, and the supernatural, writer Cebulski and acclaimed Japanese illustrator Sana Takeda bring you Drain, an exciting new series about ninjas, vampires, and one woman's centuries-spanning quest for vengeance. Debuting in November from Image Comics, Drain follows the story of Chinatsu, a woman whose life is irrevocably changed when her and her ancient clan of Japanese assassins is ravaged by vampires. Rather than take her life, Chinatsu was turned and left as a witness to the fate of her clan in order to spread the legend of the vampires in Japan. Drain is an ongoing martial arts horror series available for pre-order now in the September previews. The first issue of this full-color series will retail for $2.99, and it's scheduled to be in stores November 15th. This November, Image Comics debuts The Nightly News, a politically and socially aware comic book that is sure to raise eyebrows from the comics world. Already being compared to the comics work of indie legend Brian Wood, The Nightly News is the debut book for creator Jonathan Hickman, who handles all the writing, art, lettering, and coloring himself. "It's true," asks Hickman, "I wrote it, then drew it, colored it, lettered it, rewrote it, and then redrew it. My wife said that if I didn't stop, she was leaving, so I corrected the typos," that's code for rewrote it again, "and stopped." The book features a completely different aesthetic than most comic books on the shelves. Aside from its design, almost the entire book is comprised of double-page spreads. "It looks really cool," says Hickman. "Art style is obviously very important to any comic, but with The Nightly News, I really wanted to bridge the gap between traditional comic art and graphic design. Plenty of books recently have tried to do this. I think this might be the first one to get it right." The Nightly News, number one, is a 6-issue full-color miniseries available for advance orders in September previews, and the first issue hits stores November 1st and retails for $2.99. Celebrated comic book creator and illustrator Neil Adams, who has built his bi-coastal advertising production company, Continuity Studios, in one of the industry's top pre-production, pre-visualization, and conceptualizing studios, has launched Buzzworthy, a production company focusing on Adams' feature film projects as well as the finalization of advertising campaigns where pre-production creative was initiated by Continuity. Adams says, Buzzworthy represents a natural evolution of the work we do here at Continuity Studios and for our animated feature project activity. We are excited to launch Buzzworthy as a standalone motion capture production operation dedicated to our expanding feature and commercial slate. Adams Continuity Studios is also the CGI creative force that produced the popular Nasonex television campaign that features the endearing and enduring 3DB. These have been your top headlines. For the full version of these and other stories, go to www.aroundcomics.com, your source for the best in comics news, reviews, and opinions. And those are your top headlines for the week. We're going to go over them right now. And our guest just gets up, walks away from the table. Trying to introduce you, man.
Okay.
Joining us for the second half of the show is our good friend and the artist of Scar Tissue and various other titles.
Hi.
And pound for pound, the best sketch artist around, Mr. Dave Wachter.
Hi.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Hello, Dave.
How's everybody doing?
Just wonderful. I'm doing even better now that I've got my Nick Fury Black Widow sketch.
Good.
That's awesome. I will post it on the forum. Thank you so much. It's awesome.
Do you have
welcome.
A website you want to plug right away?
DaveDrawsComics.com.
You missed the bullpen bulletins
plug.
Message you there earlier when they.
Yes, you have to say like Dave Draws Comics eight times in 30 seconds to Matt's.
But you have to make it into like a, you know, intelligible stream of.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, guys. Jeff Smith is going on a world tour. So I guess
who's
good,
that?
Good for Jeff Smith.
I like that. Good for you, sir.
Good for
it shouldn't
you.
Be called a world tour unless he actually goes everywhere.
Where is he going?
Wait,
here. Everywhere. Greece, Spain, France, UK, Norway, Italy.
That sounds like a world
sounds
tour.
Sounds like a little Eurocentric.
Wait. Listen to this list. Greece, Spain, France, UK, Norway, Italy, and French Canada?
He's big there. Bone's big.
Quebec?
If anybody doesn't know, Jeff Smith created Bone.
Quebec?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Millions of copies. Actually, over a million copies.
I like Jeff Smith. So. Congrats to you, sir.
For the full list of his schedule for the world tour, you can go to www.aroundcomics.com.
Finish up Captain Marvel.
And see
so he's not coming to the U.S.?
I'm sure he'll be in the full schedule's in Around Comics. So check it out.
I'll go look.
Finish up Captain Marvel and the Monster Society.
Warner Books and DC Comics have announced that Brad Meltzer is the greatest writer ever.
there was an orphanage burning earlier in downtown Chicago this week, and Brad Meltzer ran
saved
in and
all?
Saved every
in between his book tour.
He and he gave them a signed copy of.
of Book of Fate?
I like Brad Meltzer. Yes. So,
I felt so bad because Brad Meltzer's had two signings in Chicago on Monday. One was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon downtown.
Yeah.
I work out in the suburbs, so I couldn't
I
make
could
it.
I could have gone to that.
And then the one, and then he was up
nice
in Winnetka, which is a far north
some
suburb.
Brad Meltzer fan
I didn't make it to that either. So Brad Meltzer came through Chicago, had two book signings, and I didn't make either one of them.
I like Brad
Meltzer. I don't feel bad because I'd never read his books.
Okay.
So
did you never read Identity Crisis?
Yeah, but he wasn't signing for those books.
I mean,
his,
read anything
his novels.
He's done,
I should say.
I'm sure he would have been.
I do get his emails though. Thanks for the spam, Brad.
I do love Infinite Crisis. Is that what it's called?
No,
Identity Crisis. I absolutely love that, and I like what he's doing on JLA.
But hey, hell of an accomplishment. Number one on New York Times book,
top 10,
and
or was it?
He was
JLA was number one also.
Yeah, JLA was
that's
number one
amazing.
On Diamond. And
well, you know, it's good because he seems like someone who really likes what he does. Yeah. And when you hear him talk, he's obviously very excited to do what he does.
Did anybody
so
hear?
That's cool to hear someone who's
that DC podcast of it was about fans who became writers
or
creators, and he was and yeah, it was really interesting to listen to him and was it Mark Wade that friends with him,
he
I think?
Was roommates with Judd Winnick.
Judd Winnick, that's college. Right. That's oh, what that's it was, yeah. Yeah. And it was an interesting listen.
He told
it's
that
like
great
Al
story.
Gore and Tommy Lee Jones.
But he told that story about when they offered him Green Arrow, and the guy said, "Do you want to do Green Arrow?" And he's like, "If you're lying to me, you're going to
yeah,
totally
don't,
destroy
yeah.
me.
Don't say it unless you mean it.
Yeah, don't say it unless you mean it, or you're going to completely destroy
and
me."
The guy had already been an accomplished novelist, you know, at that point, but, you know, he loves comics, and that's,
so that's awesome.
Yeah.
Mark your calendars for September 28th, which this is coming out on, what, the 25th? So you've got 3 days.
Six.
Fantagraphics is, if you're in the New York area, they have an exhibit that is, I guess it's starting on the 27th, it's going through the 21st, so it's going to be at the Museum of American Illustration at the Society of Illustrators at 128 East 63rd Street in New York. So go out and check out all that great Fantagraphic stuff. Hopefully Harlan Ellison won't be there.
It sounds like I heard the Society of Illustrators. Here comes Line Man, and here comes Joe Inker.
No, listen to, I mean, some of the artists that they're going to show in there. Daniel Close, Gilbert Hernandez, Jamie Hernandez, Chris Ware, Peter Bagg, Jim Woodring, Joe Sacco, Ivan Brunetti, Tony Millionaire, Bill Griffith, and then the list gets a little less.
You think Tony Millionaire? I think that's his real name.
Sure, those guys at the bottom of the list appreciate it.
It got shortened down from...
Frank Frazetta's at the end of the list.
Yeah.
Tony Millionaire is just
an exclamation point.
And Ellis Island. Special.
Tony Millionaire?
Tony Millionaire.
What about Frank Frazetta?
Nothing.
He's pretty good?
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, he's all right. Yes, he is. So if you're in the New York area, definitely go check that out. It should be some amazing stuff. And check out the full story for that little shindig of theirs on the 28th.
The soiree, if you will.
Now we have – I'm totally lost here.
Ron Martz is doing a book, his first creator-owned book from Desperado Publishing and Image Comics, Russian Sunset.
Thanks for picking me up, Sal.
You betcha, buddy.
That's what we're here for, guys. Yeah. We're kind of like our own
team.
Justice League right here. Wow. Our own podcast league. The Podcast League of Chicago.
PLC.
I saw...
doesn't have a real good ring to it.
Click.
So if you're a Ron Martz fan, he's got some new stuff coming out. Here's something that...
And if you hate Ron Martz, ignore it.
Yes. I'm excited about this next story. And Sal and I, we talked about that this week. You said it was quite possibly one of the most important announcements ever. That's why I did to you on last week.
Oh, yeah. Last week.
I didn't say that. I said it was, hey, did you, you know, I said, hey, it's kind of interesting. Johnny Depp's going to be in Rex Mundi.
Very cool.
He's going to play the character, Rex Mundi. He's going to produce it. And there's...
Not only is he going to be in it, he's...
producing it?
Yeah. It's.
I think I said that.
But
hey,
the interesting...
I think he's producing it.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
I heard that he's also going to be in it.
Oh, well.
I like as acting. Like, he's going to be doing some acting now.
The interesting thing about the story is that
it's going to be a script.
It's been in...
I think he'll write it.
The plans for it have gone back almost 4 years where they first started wanting to make a film out of it. And then about 2 years ago is when Johnny Depp got involved. And they've kept it really hush-hush. And I'm wondering, because Eric J., one of the original co-creators of that book...
Is off the book now.
And it's changed publishers. And we talked to him at Wizard World briefly about that and why they broke up. And he had said there were reasons that it was either they quit working on the book together or they no longer become friends.
Yeah.
Or they no longer stay friends, I should say. And, you know, it's kind of a cryptic answer. But I'm wondering if it had anything to do with this movie deal. You know, I don't know.
I'm actually planning on talking with Eric on the 14th because – we're going to be the signing that we're putting together. Len Cody is going to be here, and Len is working with Eric on Cisco Kid at Moonstone. So I think we may try and give Eric a call and talk to him about Rex Mundi. But yeah, he basically, it was just that. He said it was either work on the book and end the friendship or keep the
friendship. Why does he keep repeating what I say? Like, I don't say it clearly enough?
Well, I think...
Do I not?
It's just your words are so valuable they need to be repeated.
Is that what it is? Thank you.
From what I understand, what happened was they were in
great
a situation
words
where
all right.
If they continue
anyway, if you haven't read Rex Mundi, there's 3 trades of it now, and it's really good stuff, great art, and go check it out before the movie hits.
It's so good.
There's
so
three
good.
Trades.
If anybody wants to loan it to
it
me,
out.
I will so.
It's so good. It will. It's so good. It will tear
I will
your
you
friendships
the, I will
apart.
Loan it the first one to
because
you
because they have the new
image
series.
Ones.
The image book is coming out now
right.
from issue one, and I got that, and it seemed really interesting.
Are you
but
sure
it's
from
like
Image?
I will
no,
bring you
Dark
the first.
Now.
I only
oh,
have,
is it Dark Horse?
I have the first two trades, but the second one's Chris's, so I can't borrow that one to you, and I haven't read it yet.
I just didn't really know what was
I'm
going on.
I'm actually in the middle of the third trade, which
actually
is actually in my bag
wait,
right now.
Maybe it's the third one.
I haven't read one goddamn page of it.
All right.
Kudos to you, Mr.
All right.
Depp.
C.B. Cebulski is going to be working on...
I love
on
that name, Cebulski.
Cebulski.
C.B. Cebulski. I wonder Cebulski. What his first and middle name is. You know, it'd be interesting
millionaire.
If it was like...
C.B. Millionaire.
It's Cebulski B. Cebulski. Hey, that's my name, all right? Cebulski B. Cebulski.
Okay, working on a new book called Drain from Image Comics. It's an exciting new series about ninjas, vampires, and one woman's centuries-spanning quest for vengeance. So CB's a great guy. Really like the stuff that he's been doing.
Yeah, he seemed all right.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So if you're interested in vampires and ninjas, check out Drain from Image Comics.
I hear it's about ninjas and vampires. All right,
that joke's already...
Are they vampire ninjas, or is it just vampires and ninjas?
Separate. Completely separate?
Yeah. Like, are the ninjas vampires or vice versa?
I don't know.
Or
we'll have to read it to find out.
Do you think your training is different if you're already a vampire and you enter into ninja school?
Rather than if you're a ninja and then become a vampire.
Which would be more... Which who would more win in a fight? A ninja that become
a vampire
or a vampire that trained to be a ninja?
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that's the kind
wrap
of
your
insight
mind around
that
you
will
my friend.
Hear here at Around Comics.
Is that the
and
new
gentlemen.
Next news story? Vampire Ninja beats
okay,
Ninja.
Okay, another preview that we're looking at from Image is the Nightly News.
A politically and socially aware comic book that is sure to raise eyebrows from the comics world.
This well, looks good.
Yeah, this guy's already being good. Compared to Brian Wood, which is a pretty high compliment in my
sure.
book anyway. So
unless
yeah.
they're comparing it to... Supermarket number 4.
Oh. Oh. High fives, everyone!
Oh, up there.
No, he didn't!
Oh, snap.
That was your top of the stack.
I'm going to retire this pimp.
Oh, God. Yeah, Tom and I were talking earlier that whenever something's really bad, we're just going to refer to it as being Flash number 4 bad.
Retire this pimp.
Okay, and our last story is about celebrated comic book creator, illustrator Neil Adams.
Tom's favorite guy.
Tom I love Comet. Neil Adams.
You just hate he's, his pseudoscience.
He's a shitty scientist.
Well,
just like I'm a shitty artist, I mean.
So he's launching or spinning off a company called Buzzworthy out of Continuity Studios. So it's good to see that Neil Adams still...
It's going to be a what kind of company is it going to be? Feature film project,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, feature film.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
it should be good. Mm-hmm. He's an extremely creative person.
Well, all right, I got to ask you, Tom. I mean, not okay. that I disagree with you at all about... You know, he's not a scientist,
yeah.
and he hasn't really done the work to kind of go out there and – but at the same time, has he really pushed himself as such? I mean, to me, it was just like kind of an idea he had, and he did a web comic about it, and now people ask him about it. So he talks about it. It's not like he goes out going, well, I think that these guys are, you know.
But he
I mean,
does.
This
well,
is
he
how
does
cults
when people
and religions
ask him about
get started.
It's a little L. Ron Hubbard, but
yeah.
not to that.
Yeah.
Not to
I mean,
that
I'm not, that. I'm a,
I mean, he's not,
I don't know anything about science.
He's
beyond,
not jamming
like,
it down anyone's throat, but
it is cool,
he
cool.
wants to.
But is it?
I'm,
I don't know. I'm just asking that.
Here's the thing that bothers me about it is you can't have it both ways. You can't say, this is what I think and put it out there. And then when people criticize you, say, well, I'm not trained in science. Well, then, okay, that's it. It's like if I went out there and I was like, this is what I think about medicine and you should all do this. And then someone asked me about it and my defense is, well, I'm not a doctor. Well, that's not a defense.
Do you know about psychology, Tom?
Tom Cruise, yeah.
Do you?
Do you? It's a sham. No,
well,
I mean, he has every right to believe whatever he wants to believe, but he also has to accept criticism.
But I think he has to some degree, and
no,
I think he's
I don't think he's like some sort of weird cult leader. I just
okay.
No.
I was just surprised by your like really aggressive.
I just hate
you know,
I just really hate
hatred.
Pseudoscience. I think a lot of
I think I'm going to get up on my soapbox now. I think one of the things in America that public schools have sort of let down students the most is critical thinking, where a lot we've replaced critical thinking with the idea that everything's okay and that everyone has a
opinion is just as valid as anyone else's, no matter how ignorant they are of a subject.
It is until it gets proven wrong. And that's just what bothers me the most about pseudoscience. I have no problem with Neil Adams. Okay. He seems like a really nice guy.
I mean, my only issue with it is that, to me, it's like without imagination, there isn't the seed of creation. I understand your point of view, but it's like if people don't just come up with some wild theory, and I understand you have to take the process of then taking that and turning it into a scientific theory. I understand that point, but
retested, which is not.
At the same time, it's not like Neil Adams is trying to
No, I mean he's not the reason why. I mean he's just.
If you just bash somebody because they come up with a wild idea, then people are going to stop coming up with wild ideas.
Just, I don't think I wouldn't say anything anyone does is. I mean, so I'm sure some people bash him. It's just when he puts it out and then says, well, that's the way you think because you're a scientist. I mean, that's not a defense for your viewpoint. I mean, and he seems like a really nice guy, and I think he really he really genuinely believes what he does, and I don't think he does it for attention.
Is there any validity to his ideas?
No, there's
none whatsoever.
I mean, the laws of physics and biology.
Even though there are, like, I know that there are some scientists in Australia that are actually studying some of the things, some of the ideas that he has come up with.
To break it down, what his theory requires is for you. Everyone's falling asleep now as we become a pseudoscientist. It's sort of you have to believe that our understanding of matter and antimatter is completely wrong. That when matter meets antimatter, that something will appear. And that's where all this stuff that's filling up the inside of the Earth comes from, which goes against everything we've observed about the physical universe. And a lot of his theories about dinosaurs.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's 100% incorrect. Just because it's what we know at this point. I mean, at one point in time,
he's wrong. Here's the thing, though.
Well, I don't know. I'm not.
Here's the thing.
I'm not a scientist by any.
I mean, the way it goes when a scientist is that you observe something and then you make you create theories as to why that happens. But he has nothing. He's not observing something and then saying, I wonder why. Okay, maybe this is why that happens because that would explain.
I don't know.
That.
I mean, I've looked at his stuff and he has.
Here's the thing, though.
Have you really read his theories?
It's backwards logic. It's backwards logic. You start by saying, "Here's a dinosaur bone." A dinosaur bone is the same density as our bones,
right.
But I think the Earth was 1/4 the size. How do I fit that? Instead of the obvious answer that the Earth has been the same size and that dinosaurs could still exist because of biological reasons, you take it and you say, how do I fit this into what my viewpoint is? And it's like, well, obviously the Earth must have been smaller because dinosaurs couldn't be as big as they are and still have the same bone density. It's sort of like a really well-meaning but backwards way of looking at what you observe in the world is to like make it fit retroactively to what you want.
All right.
So, well, now that we became a science
podcast. Well, I tell you what. For
NPR Science Friday is on every Friday with Ira Flatow. Check it out. It's a good podcast.
I will suggest this. If people want to have any idea what the hell we're talking about.
Go to
his website and read it.
Check
but
it
I
out.
Actually listened to one of our buddies, John Centris's Word Balloon interview with Neil Adams, which you can go to wordballoon.com and just do a search for Neil Adams. Yeah. And fantastic interview. Fascinating guy, and they do get into his theory.
read it yourself.
Yeah.
And you can
interesting
out.
Stuff. So, all right, good guys. Advice. That is Wire to Wire News. That means it is time for Top of the Stack. That's right. It's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. And Sal?
Yes. Oh,
he pointed at you. You know what that means.
Sorry. Top of the Stack is brought to you by King Tractor Press. Don't miss two fantastic new titles from King Tractor Press. Family Bones and Devil Water, both available in the September issue of Previews. Family Bones is based on the true story of the oldest married couple on Missouri's death row. Written by Sean Granger with art by Orlando Baez and Kenneth Landgraf. Devil Water number one is the horrific and comedic story of Henry Hill's encounters with outlaws, demons, angels, and religious fanatics in the Old West. written by Stephen Barr with art by Tileman Cheney and cover by Harold Roland. Ask your local retailer for Devil Water number 1 and Family Bones number 1 today. For more information about these exciting new books, visit www.kingtractorfilms.com.
All right.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Thank you, King Tractor.
John Suntress, who?
Yeah.
All right, good. We thank you so much. We actually have a ding, 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 a listener top of the stack.
Yes, we do.
Ding, ding, ding.
So that's my new sound effect.
That's your new sound effect.
Horrible, wasn't it? All right, let's take a listen.
Hey, Round Comics. This is Stephen Cohen, SJBon89 on the forum. I'm just calling in to give you guys a top of the stack on 52, week 19. Now, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will tell you that there are three storylines that get some attention this week. We have the Supernova storyline, which gets a few pages and involves a confrontation between Supernova and Wonder Girl. We also have some development in the Space Hero storyline with Archbishop Lobo, which I don't really believe that Lobo's gone to the religious side. And then the main part of the story this week is the Booster Gold storyline, or I guess Booster Gold Jr., or I don't know, it's a time paradox because he's his descendant or his ancestor. I don't know, headache. We get some pretty interesting revelations in that one. The last few pages especially are interesting concerning one character in particular. And it's probably not the one you think. All in all, it wasn't a great issue. I'm going to go ahead and give it 3 Tom Caters out of 5.
Still
all right, that was my top of the stack. It's Friday night, so I'm going to go get drunk. Bye. Yeah.
So
I picked that last week too.
3 Tom Caters out of 5. Yeah. We're judging books on the number of Tom Caters we give them.
In it, 5.
I just want to know, if he didn't think it was a great book, why did he pick it for top of the stack?
Maybe that was the best one.
That was.
Maybe
that was the best.
That's a good point.
He could be a very discerning comic book fan. So thank you very much for sending that in.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time.
Tom, Sal, would you guys like to go now, or Dave and I can go because we picked the same book?
I'll go first. Okay. I'd like to go.
Tom always steps up to the.
I step up to the plate. I'm gonna pick Checkmate number 6.
Yay!
Yay! And I feel good doing it because Greg Rucka isn't on this week, so I don't feel like a kiss ass
suck up.
Pick the fucking creator's book every week.
Who's on this week?
Who's so on this week? Book. I love the book. I'm holding a Flash toy in one hand while I'm waving it around. What I loved about the book.
Start reading Heroes for Hire.
This week, what was great about it was you can really start to see where Greg Rucka, I think, wants to take this book is that. It doesn't necessarily have to be about...
Into a novel?
There were no pictures this week.
Stop.
It was just Rose, hello.
Hey, sorry, I'm taking him to task on that when we have him on.
That's I'll duke it out with you, too.
All right.
Duke it out. Well, anyway, I lost my train of thought. He's taking it where someplace where it doesn't necessarily have to focus on the Checkmate characters per se, and he brings in the Suicide Squad, which is a group of sort of B-list... villains from the DC universe, like Icicle, and I wouldn't consider Mirror Master B-list, but some people would.
I know that's Javelin. Why you're picking this, because it's got freaking Flash robes
and
in
Javelin.
It.
Oh, no wonder.
No, but it was good. And it was, you know, it's only going to be a 2-part storyline about characters that they haven't really focused on, but it fits into the whole plot of Checkmate.
That's some Suicide Squatters that are pretty much pissed at Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
Pissed at the wall.
It fits. So. It fits into the whole storyline.
Is that your pet name for?
That's the wall.
That's their pet name for.
And I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I thought it was a really interesting book. I think that's the second time. Is that the second or third time we've picked Checkmate?
Second time, I believe. Maybe the third time. We may have had a guest pick it. Like I said, whenever I picked it, Rucka is making me care about characters that I've never given a crap about before.
Javelin has the best line about Icicle, where he says... Something Icicle says Javelin's just Captain Boomerang with javelins, and then Javelin says you're just Captain Cold, except no one gives a shit about you.
Nice.
Which was funny for people that enjoy that. So it had, you know, It was good.
Check it out. If you're a Queen of Country fan and you like superheroes, Checkmate is a really easy book.
That would be a really easy move to make.
It's espionage and political intrigue and superheroes.
The comfort zone. Welcome to the comfort zone.
Sal, what you got this week?
Union Jack number one of four. It's the first issue of a miniseries from Marvel, and it's Christos Gage, Mike Perkins pencils. This is sort of reminding me when I was reading this book. It sort of reminded me a bit of a Greg Rucka espionage book. Mm-hmm.
It's MI5.
It's, you know, British intelligence. They come to Joey, the new Union Jack, because there's a imminent terrorist attack going to happen in London, and everybody else is sort of out of town or busy on some other mission. So they kind of put together this ragtag group of agents, one being a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. I can't think of her name. It's like four words long.
Valerie, whatever.
And then a couple of other interesting...
Which I thought it was really cool is that they moved her to London because she is one of Fury's friends, and they basically just... put her as far away from
Siberia.
The States as she could.
But there was also a character called Sabra, who is a Israeli superhero, and then a character called the Arabian Knight, who is an Arabian superhero, obviously, and they don't get along very well, and it sort of reflected feelings, obviously, you would have between Israelis and Arabs in the world today. And I really liked that part of the book, that they played on that a little bit, and sort of showed how the, you know, even though that not all Arabs are terrorists, certainly.
Are they freedom haters?
I don't know. But it's hard to separate mm-hmm. one from the other because it's become...
It's like Cub fans and Sox fans.
Yeah, sort of. Except not nearly as foolish. But anyway, it was just a fantastic art. Perkins' stuff is just awesome. Perfect for this kind of book. I really like what they're doing with Union Jack now. They've made him, and it started in Brubaker's run on Captain America, his latest arc. They really made him a solid character.
Frontline-worthy character.
And it was just a real good, you know, story, and I really liked it. It was good action, great art.
Could you see this going beyond a four issue?
I don't know if really. I mean, as much as I like Union Jack, I don't know if you could do an ongoing with him, only because it tends to end up like the same thing with Captain Britain or Vanguard, where it's Captain America in another country is what it kind of ends up being. But if you did do it in this sort of way where you're more dealing with, you know, the intelligence agencies.
If they make it an espionage book starring Union Jack.
It could be more interesting, and maybe you could do... an ongoing with it. I was really impressed. I don't know Christos Gage. I honestly don't know what else he's written, but I was really impressed with the writing and especially the dialogue in this.
And Perkins' art is super solid.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, I'm gonna pick it up now.
Check it out.
Yeah, it's good. And I think it could be really.
I was waiting to hear what people thought about it because I was kind of like, I've never really heard of the writer.
I had said, when I was reading it, it kind of reminded me of a Greg Rucka book, like a Checkmate or Queen and Country, because of the espionage angle and how they...
It's a spy week.
It is spy, really.
Which is crazy, because I'm the espionage spy guy, and I'm not doing a spy
Any
book.
Spy books.
And you guys are. But yeah, it I wouldn't call it the Marvel version of Checkmate, because Checkmate is so... much more involved than this. Yeah. This is just a good action.
The funny thing is, when I first started reading it, because I had just picked up the Union Jack trade that was done by John Cassaday, and I can't think of who wrote it, and I read that, and the beginning of this is like almost a direct connection from that book, and I was disappointed. I'm like, oh, geez, they're just going to keep doing what they did in the last
Vampire
trade.
Honey.
Yeah, the vampire. Yeah. And but then they did. It was completely different than that. They just sort of used that to set up the rest of the story. And that I really was impressed by that.
Yeah, very good. Well, Dave and I have the same top of the stack. I was really kind of scared about talking about this book because it was so good that I was not going to be able to do it justice.
Yes.
So, Dave, why don't you tell everyone what we're so excited about.
All right.
I'll grab another copy for these two jokers to look at.
All right. Well, it's the new hardback graphic novel from writer Brian K. Vaughan called Pride of Baghdad. And the art is by Nico Henrikan? Sorry, Nico.
Henrichon?
Henrikan.
Sorry, and basically, it's based on a true story about a four lions that were in the Baghdad Zoo who escaped during the American invasion of Iraq. And he basically takes that true event.
Liberation.
Did the lions
liberation?
What did I say? Okay. What did I say?
Okay, George W.
Yeah.
Sorry,
well, you said invasion.
We invaded
fascists.
So that we could liberate.
There
you
go.
Have to invade first. So it's based on a true story, but then it, gives the lions personalities and basically weaves a tale of the their time after they escape from the zoo.
Yeah. My first impression of this book is it's absolutely gorgeous.
It is.
And we'll just call him Nico because we're having trouble with his last name. He did Barnum, by the way, the P.T. Barnum.
With Chankin?
Was it Chankin that wrote that?
The 19th century
as a secret agent.
Yeah. Chankin.
That's the other work that he's done.
Okay.
So check out. I'm going to order Barnum. But it is an absolutely vivid, gorgeous, lush book. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come up with some more rich adjectives for this. But
it's yellow.
Luscious.
No, different scenes are different colors.
Yeah, yeah.
But
color
it's beautifully
is,
painted.
Yeah, color is a big part of setting moods in this book.
I could probably get my girlfriend to read that.
Absolutely. Just don't say it's like The Lion King.
No.
Because
The Lion King.
It's like The Lion King with a rape scene in it.
A lion gets raped?
Yeah, actually.
Jesus yeah.
Christ.
I do not want to give away
it's
a bunch of
the
this
happy,
book.
It's not like all the animals are going to bow down for
it's
the
lion.
It's
not a Disney movie.
It's not a Disney movie. It's very serious piece of work.
She likes Brian.
And it's about, it's about war.
It's about freedom.
And it's about, yeah.
What is freedom?
And this is based on, slightly based on a true story because there were two lions that escaped.
Four lions.
Was it four?
Yeah. It was four lions.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought it was two. But that escaped from the Baghdad.
Right.
Yeah, that's
pretty.
And it just basically takes that and turns that into their their journey is the part that he's made
like,
up. The event is real.
The journey home, about the dog and the cat.
The incredible journey?
Yeah,
something
whatever.
Like that,
it's kind of like that. It's where they've gone in the ad dialogue. And
now,
they
the thing I'm most interested about is because I'm a bit Brian K. Vaughan fan, but most of his stuff is a little lighter.
This is not.
Not like.
And when I heard about this, I'm like, wow, that seems like a stretch for him, which I think is great.
Well, he brings his strengths to it, I think, of character.
Yeah.
I mean, each lion, and that's something I really like about the art, too, is that they really are able to emote. And
you fall in love with each one of them.
Yeah.
In their own different – and they're all flawed.
So it is sort of
and
like
they each
–
yeah.
no, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, just from
just
the
but it's also,
cartoon
it has,
lion.
Yeah, and you can take it as like as just a story to be entertained by, but there are lots of different levels here. There's lots of commentary here on from – a lot of different sides and angles of the issues.
What is of greater importance to you, security or freedom, is a major theme.
Whose side
in
are
this
you
book.
On?
Well, no, and it's serious. It's like, there's a major decision in the book on we can stay here and be secure or we have a chance to be free. And that's a huge theme that runs through this. And there are a lot of arguments about that between the characters. It's about survival. It's about, and that, what I love about it is that great stories about animals reflect our humanity back at us, and it almost takes looking at
I was going to ask you guys about that. What do you think, why is it that we are so attracted to those types of stories, whether it's through a cartoon or through, whatever it may be, that there's often been stories told through animals.
Mouse.
I think it's because
Animal Farm.
Yeah. I think it's because we as people, we
Charles
talk
Webb.
To things all the time in our lives
yeah.
that can't
Webb.
Possibly respond. Like on some level, you like yell at your computer, or you yell at your car, or you talk to your dog, or you talk to, you know, whatever's going on, and there's like some innate sense of that you want whatever you're talking to like answer back on some level, because you want, you know, a response. So I think it's almost it's almost sort of, we want that almost so bad because I think we attribute so many things to inanimate objects or things that can't communicate to us. That
I think that's part of it.
It boils down messages kind of to their core.
Well, I think that's what I was thinking too, is that we can kind of wipe away all the inadequacies that human beings or frailties that we have and look at something like a lion with a sort of different eye of...
It's like Superman. A lion's like Superman.
There's a certain respect.
I think it also hits a different kind of an innate emotional core center of people, you know, where you take an animal and people have these closest emotional attachments to an animal and what it means, even ideas that aren't realistic and things like that. And then something that this does is it plays on that. You know, you look at, like, the Lion King, it's like, wow, the lions are all great and everything, and being out in the wild is terrific and all that kind of. And this shows you, well, actually being out in the wild can be pretty damn brutal.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
Well, do you think this is a – I mean, this is being – you know, it's only been out for a few days, and but people are already sort of talking about it as an important book.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think it could be.
I think it's one of those – yeah, I think it's one of those important works of the comics genre.
Let me put this way. I read it on Wednesday, and it's Friday now, and I've thought about it over and over and over for the last couple of
days. You can't get it out of your brain after you've read it for a long time. I mean, yeah.
And then
I still think about it.
And you want to read it again. And each time you read it, because I've read it twice now, and there's stuff that you get the second time where you're like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, is it a great work of literature? I don't know if I would go that far. Is it going to be an important comic work? I think it's going to be something that a few years from now people are talking about.
I think it has a lot of those aspects that a great work of literature has, in that it's of its time, but it's also timeless. And so I think it really fulfills a lot of aspects of it.
It is
No, I said I told people to go out and get the hardback copy because you're going to want to keep it.
Mine's in the box here, so I'm
yours is here. It does retail for $19.99, by the way.
Oh man, it's so worth it.
It's so worth
it. It looks beautiful.
We're going to look back at this as sort of the landmark work of Brian K. Vaughan that changed him from a good writer to maybe a great writer in comics.
I think it's going
to
be in the team photo, definitely. Yeah. I think that, you know.
I mean, are we going to think we'll see more of this?
It's too early to tell. I think that there's still a lot of good stuff in Vaughn's work.
Because we haven't had a guy of recent times that went from the mainstream guy. You know, you have guys like Alan Moore and that ilk. That went from, you know, doing Superman comics and mainstream stuff to all of a sudden this next level, this status of brilliance or genius or iconic. You know, we haven't really had one in a while. I mean, Grant Morrison has done that.
Edge of it,
you know, well, I think he's there, but he's probably the most recent. We haven't really had this new crop, this new generation
yet.
You know, that really done anything that has.
There are great comic book writers out there, but there isn't. I don't know if we've really felt that groundbreaking work.
Right.
That's
what I'm wondering if this.
Well,
is.
I think this could be one of those. I mean, this is. I could see this.
I could see this being taught in school.
Yeah, that's just exactly what I was going to say. That it could be right there next to. Yeah. Thank you.
Stealing.
That it could be right there along with Mouse. You know, that you teach kids in school. Yeah. Like, not because it's a comic, but because it's a great work that they should be reading.
Yeah, this could, they paperback this puppy, it could be in high schools. It's, and I say high schools because there's some very mature themes. I wasn't joking about the rape. There's a rape scene.
I would hope you weren't joking about that. That's a serious subject, and it is very serious.
And it's you're like, oh my god, that is a rape scene, and it's brutal.
Well, I'll be reading it this weekend.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, Pride of Baghdad.
If you read one book this year,
yeah,
this is the one.
It's my favorite book this year. Yeah. Period.
All right.
It's probably my favorite for the past 5 years. Seriously, it's just, it's that good.
It's good stuff.
Worth even better than bucks. Scar Tissue.
Well, we don't want to go crazy now, do we?
We don't want to get into that. All right,
guys,
you know?
We do have one more listener top of the stack. Let's cue that one up.
Cue ball.
Hey, Round Comics. It's Stephen Cohen. Esteban 89.
Oh, he's back.
Forum.
Same guy.
It's Friday night, so I'm a little fucked up. But, just thought I'd take a break from the evening festivities to give you guys a call.
Another top of the stack?
Yeah, one of my tops of the stack.
I wonder what he's going to pick this time.
And I guess I'll go with 52, week 19.
Isn't that what he's
the same one?
He
just,
and,
maybe he likes it better this time.
It's pretty tight, I guess. Not one of the best ones, though.
No, he does the same thing.
Yeah. What happened? Oh, yeah, that thing was Supernova and Wonder Girl. That was pretty tight.
It's the same.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Top of the stack, but drunk.
And then you had some Lobo shit. And Lobo's like fucking religious leader. I don't know if I believe that he's changed. And then you had that big thing with the new Booster Gold, maybe. And Skeet. And
skeet.
I guess there's a big reveal at the end of the issue with that one, involving a character that you might not think it involves, and that reeks of Grant Morrison, if you ask me. So the night is still young. I choose not to spend my Friday nights at comic shops. So,
ouch.
I'm going to be fucked up some more, and see you guys later. Bye.
Smoke weed every day.
Well, I guess the moral to that story is don't drink and call podcast shows.
No, the real lesson is that 52 doesn't get better if you're fucked up.
And Esteban is now one of our favorite posters of all time.
Although, you know, the slam about not, you know, I choose not to hang out at comic shops. Oh, well, you're too fucking cool to hang out at all right, whatever. I can get fucked up, too, and, you know.
I'm fucked up.
I remember my first beer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, Esteban, thank you so much. That was, we got a kick.
And I will say, I just read 5219 because I'm a little behind on it. And I was going to agree with you completely. Skeets is a dick.
Yeah. And it's really surprising. And, yeah. And the thing where I'm talking about where everyone thought it was one thing. And all of a sudden you realize it's not.
Up until the end, you figure it's like, yeah. Absolutely.
Is this the same Esteban that teaches a Spanish-style guitar on the on the shopping channel?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
I think maybe it
like
is.
Him, but the guy with the hat and the
with the hat and the sunglasses, yeah. And he grows his nails out so he can pick the guitar.
All right, guys. He's awesome. Are we going to pull this train wreck
into the station?
Into the station.
Yeah.
Call it an episode.
Got a little bit of everything today, guys.
Yeah, this is Sunday dinner, guys. A little bit of everything. Dave,
you got to hear us talk about science.
Yeah.
But
science. Pseudoscience.
I'm just hoping that Greg Rucka doesn't screen the podcast he's going to be on before he does interviews. So.
I doubt he does.
Yeah, I doubt he does either. All right, guys. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. The CPN is a collection of some of the best comic podcasts on the net. You can learn more about the network and find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com. The forum, thank you guys. You threw a bunch of great topics up there whenever we were scrambling around for a show. And I think we're actually going to make some shows out of them. So thank you very much, everyone.
You do all the work. You reap the benefits. Yes. Passing on to you.
So the forum.
So really, you reap the benefits.
That's the circle of life.
Right? Yeah. Circle of life, yeah. I'm glad that we had Esteban. Esteban was able to whip the show back. All right, you jokers. September contest. Check out that trivia page.
I hate that contest with a passion.
Because you're no good at it.
Exactly.
Well, it's because you've only been reading comics for like 7 years.
No, I've been reading comics since 1984.
Oh, 10, 11.
I just took a 10-year break in there.
Yeah, you really do suck. Listener LCS challenge.
I like it when they
Thank
ask you a
everyone.
Question about a character who's dead, and they list like three characters who have died in like the last 10 years, and
all three of them have come back. You have to guess at when this person asked.
Yeah, that Bucky question. Let's update these questions, huh? Okay? Because Bucky's alive.
Podcast
all right?
Alley, spoiler, iTunes spoiler. Music reviews. GeekArmor.com. Thank you so much. Please check out Geek Armor for that great comic book and movie and TV show apparel. I'd like to thank everybody today. Tom, Sal, as always, I love spending
you.
My Fridays with
Dave?
You.
What about Dave?
I already thanked Dave him. Buy Scar Tissue. ScarTissue-comic.com.
I'll get a review one of these days out of these guys.
You want a review? You never asked for a review.
It's just when your books come out, something else also came out that week that was like...
Better,
just a little better.
You know, just journalistic integrity.
No.
I get it.
All right, you got anything else?
No, thank God.
Guys, all right.
That's it.
Everyone, have a fantastic week. We'll be back again next Monday with Greg Rucka.
Maybe.
And another full-length episode. Ooh. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week. With a panel will change, but our mission stays the same, bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.